Okay, let's unpack this. I mean, imagine dropping a grand on a massive state-of-the-art 12-volt LiFePO4 battery for your rig.
Oh, yeah, that is a serious investment.
Right, and then you just plug it into your trusty old garage charger
Which is a classic move.
and you quietly destroy it from the inside out over the next few hours. So today we are doing a deep dive into the sources to make sure you don't make this incredibly common, expensive mistake.
Because that really is the biggest trap.
Exactly. You buy the new battery, you look at your old charger, and you just sort of assume that if the plug physically fits, you're good to go.
It gives you this brutal, false sense of security. I mean, sure, the hardware might connect, but the chemistry inside is speaking a totally different language.
Right, so using an old lead acid charger on a lithium pack is basically like putting a brick on the gas pedal of a parked car.
That is a great analogy, actually.
Because lead acid needs that constant revving to stay alive, right? But lithium holds its own idle perfectly fine.
Exactly. It just doesn't need the help.
So keeping the pedal down just burns out the engine. But why? If lead acid needs a float or like a trickle charge to survive, why does that actively kill lithium?
Well, what's fascinating here is how these two chemistries handle pressure. Lead-acid chargers push their absorption phase up to around 15 volts.
Wow, that high.
Yeah, and then they often hit an equalization phase. That spikes the voltage to nearly 16 volts to blast away sulfation.
Which is those crusty lead sulfate crystals on older batteries?
Right, the stuff that builds up on the plates.
Hmm.
But LiFePO4 doesn't get crusty.
Right, there is no sulfation at all.
None. And lithium cells have this hard, non-negotiable ceiling of 14.6 volts.
So if you cross that line with a lead acid charger.
The lithium battery's internal brain, the battery management system, or BMS, has to physically step in. It completely severs the connection to protect the cells.
Oh, so it protects itself, but you're saying that's still a bad thing.
Yeah, because if you do that enough, you wear out the BMS long before the battery itself actually dies.
Ah, I see.
Plus, lithium barely self-discharges. So holding it at a high float voltage just constantly stresses the cells, which accelerates capacity fade. You are basically just artificially aging your own battery.
Okay, so if floating the charge actively ages a lithium battery, how do we actually fill it up without overpressurizing it?
You use a two-stage process called constant current, constant voltage.
CCCVM.
Exactly. First, the charger pushes a steady, heavy stream of amps into the battery until it hits about 90% full.
Okay, that makes sense.
Then the constant voltage stage takes over. The charger holds perfectly steady at that 14.6 volt ceiling and just lets the current naturally taper off.
Got it. So it just slows down at the end.
Right. Once the current drops to about 2% of the battery's capacity, it shuts off completely. So a 100 amp hour battery takes roughly 5 hours on a 20 amp charger.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting. Like 5 hours. I mean, my phone charges to full in like 40 minutes.
Sure.
So if I want to save time, shouldn't I just buy the biggest 40 amp charger available and cut that time in half?
I mean, you can push it faster, but you're going to pay for it in lifespan.
Oh, because of the heat.
Exactly. Faster charging generates serious heat, and thermal stress degrades lithium cells so quickly. If the internal temp spikes, a good BMS will just throttle or kill the charge anyway.
Right, so you're not actually saving time in the long run.
Not at all. And it's also vital to match the charger type to your power source. You need an AC smart charger for a wall outlet.
Okay.
Or a DC to DC charger to regulate the wild voltage swings coming off a vehicle alternator.
Because alternators are just all over the place.
Exactly. Or you need an MPPT charge controller for solar, which basically translates that raw fluctuating solar energy into a safe, steady voltage.
Okay, so heat clearly degrades the cells, but thermal threats go both ways, right?
They do.
So what does this all mean if you are camping in freezing weather? Is the battery completely useless?
No, not at all. Discharging, so actually using the battery to run your gear below 32 degrees Fahrenheit or 0 Celsius is perfectly fine.
Okay, so I can still run my heater or lights.
Right. But charging below freezing is where the physics completely turn against you.
Wait, really? Just charging it.
Yeah. If you force power into a freezing LiFePO4 cell, the chemical reactions are moving way too slow.
Because of the cold.
Right. The lithium ions just can't absorb into the graphite anode fast enough, so they basically crash into the surface and pile up as solid metal.
Oh, wow. So they literally plate onto the anode. It is like a traffic jam that permanently blocks the road.
Precisely. It is irreversible damage, and it can actually be really dangerous.
So what is the workaround then?
It's simple, really. You either buy batteries with built-in internal heating pads, or you physically bring the battery indoors to warm up before you hook up the charger.
Okay, so to wrap this up for you, always start by checking your battery's datasheet. Look for that 14.2 to 14.6 volt ceiling.
Right, and match your amps to your capacity so you avoid cooking the cells.
Exactly, and strictly run away from anything with lead acid equalization or desulfation modes.
Definitely. Hitting those exact voltage and current profiles is really the only way to protect your investment.
Which leaves you with something to ponder today. If these chemistries are so fundamentally incompatible and dangerous to mix, why hasn't the industry redesigned the physical plugs to prevent us from mixing them up in the first place?